This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. It's the afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I mean, this just sounds like Ben Davis kind of music. You know what I mean? Like, I can see him bumping on the tractor to this, you know, and maybe it is pickup truck to that. Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Big games and big events are better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, Ben Davis. What's happening, Ben?
How we doing, fellas?
What's up, Ben Yami?
How we doing? What a beautiful day, huh?
Listen, a little windy. That's all right, though.
Little windy, but we're one day closer to opening day. That's all that matters.
Man, six days.
Well, are you here, Ben, or are you down in Clearwater?
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, in PA. Yeah, just sitting at the bus stop waiting for Mickey to get off the bus. So
I know what that's like.
So yeah. You're busy.
Oh, yeah.
You're busy. So you've been obviously back and forth, though, down in Clearwater, back here. And I heard you on the morning show, of course. But what's kind of the general vibe that you've gotten from the team while you've been down there and been around them?
They seem hungry. They seem focused. You know, I always talk about how professional they are. As a unit and how they go about their business. And that's what I saw down in spring training. Not a whole lot of goofing around. Guys just, you know, with their blinders on, trying to get better. And that's one thing that I think this team, you can never fault this ball club for trying to get better each and every day. And that's really, you know, where that professionalism comes in. And they're a joy to watch. I did very promising to see a few things going on down there at camp, mostly with the pitchers and they're throwing strikes. And then the hitters with the adjustment, trying to just, you know, shorten up and try to put a few more balls in play.
I'm wondering about that, Ben. We've talked about this, and they obviously are openly talking about it as well. But the whole idea of changing your approach at the plate, I think ideally it sounds great. I just wonder if they can actually put it into reality once you've been a player and you're so accustomed to doing something for so long. Do you believe that at this stage of their careers, they have that ability to sort of change their approach at the plate?
Yeah, you know, I know it's hard to change the spots on a leopard, Ike, but I think these guys are at that point where they realize that why they've got bounced out of the playoffs the last couple of years. And, you know, with an offense that's, you know, can be unbelievable at times, and then offenses that just really falls into a quagmire and they, you know, opposing pitchers just have their way with them. I think they're at the point, there's a crossroads where, hey, we need to make these adjustments. If we don't, we're going to not find ourselves winning the World Series again. And I think it's, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I do think it's in there. I love the approach that I saw, the games that I did. These guys were fouling off pitches to see another pitch. They were staying in the middle of the diamond, using the opposite field of the diamond. The one game I had, they had 10 hits, and they had 8 of them were singles, but yet they still scored 5 runs. That was very promising for me to see, because that's something we have not seen over the years. It's either a 3-run homer or it's not. And, you know, that's the approach we need to see a little bit more of.
And I just hope that it's not just a spring thing. Because I agree with you. Like, in watching the at-bats, they do look like they're locked in. But I just hope it's not like, hey, they go through the spell. Because every year, the offense goes through a slump. Even the best teams, the 08 Phillies, they had a bad offensive slump. I hope when that happens, they don't revert back to what ultimately sunk them the last couple of postseasons.
Without a doubt. And they have to make sure... They have to make sure that they can do that because, when they're hot, nobody's better. But they have to make sure that they do change their approach and get back to the little things and fouling the pitch off, not just flailing at a pitch. You're never going to eliminate chase, but you can definitely cut back on it. And that's one thing that they've talked about over the years. And they have to get back to that because you can't always rely on Earl Weaver baseball, that three-run homer. It's not always going to happen. They got to find other ways to produce.
Yeah, Earl Weaver baseball. It's not exactly Rob Thompson baseball. Mm-hmm.
No,
Rob.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, it's not. What do you think about, you know, it seems like they're, listen, when camp started, it was Turner's going to be the leadoff guy. But as camp has kind of gone on here, you're seeing Schwarber kind of up there, and it feels like they might be trying a hybrid lineup, you know, against tough lefties. Turner's leading off against maybe weaker righties. Schwarber's back to leading off. Is that kind of the sense you're getting, that they're really not made up there? And if they do that idea, is that an idea that you like?
It is an idea that I like, to answer your second question first. It is an idea that I like, because if you're going up against a Chris Sale or Garrett Crochet, you know, maybe you let Turner lead off instead of, I know Schwarber hits lefties really well, but I think it can be a different dynamic in that lineup and to find some type of a little bit more consistency. I think that's a strong possibility where you get a lefty on the mound, you see Turner lead off, a righty, you have Schwarber lead off. I mean, the bottom line is they've won with Kyle Schwarber at the leadoff spot. He's been extremely productive. I think they're just thinking if we do bump him down a little bit and have a few more guys on base, it might be that productivity might go off even more. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I'm not opposed to moving guys around and seeing what really, you know, throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah. What's your outlook on JT this year? Right. There's some pressure on him. Like if he can get his bat to at least give you a little bit more, he can bring a different dynamic to this lineup as well, like he did in 2022. He's getting up there in age a little bit. He's on the final year of his deal. He hinted that there could be some contract talks going on. Your former catcher, just what do you think we should expect from JT this year?
Well, I think he was a little inconsistent last year, obviously, with his approach as well. It really all hinges on that leg kick, Ike. If he can get his foot down on time, you know, he's a whole different animal. But when he gets, you know, I know it's an exaggerated leg kick. That's one thing that Tony Gwynn always said to me. He said, you got to get your foot down. He must have said it 100 times a day. You don't get that foot down, you just can't hit. And with that exaggerated leg kick, I think if he's able to get it down, he uses the right side, right center. That's really the way his swing is honed to use. But, you know, he can really hit anything. And I know he's getting up there in age, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big offensive year. The Phillies need him. If he gets going, it only lengthens that lineup. But from a defensive standpoint, I think you're going to see him get a few more days off and let Marchand catch a little bit more because, as we all know, like, Father Time is undefeated. And, you know, you start getting up there in age and, you don't recover like you used to. I know he wants to play every day. I understand it. I appreciate that. I always felt if I had to go to the ballpark, damn it, I better be in that lineup. And it wasn't always the case with me, but that's the way I felt. And that's the way he feels. But Topper's going to have to give him a few more days this year.
Were you surprised that Stubbs didn't make the team? Where do you kind of stand with Marchand? Like, is he good enough, in your opinion, to spell JT more than just once a week? Maybe he can play twice or even three times.
Yeah, I think Marchand definitely can do that. You know, from an offensive standpoint, we've seen him make strides over the years. It's just a matter of Marchand staying healthy. That's been a bugaboo for him the last couple of years, is staying healthy, staying on the diamond. But he is a switch hitter. That definitely lends to him being maybe a little bit more successful offensively. And, you know, I love him defensively. You talk about some strong hands and a rifle for an arm. He's about as good defensively as you're going to find. And I think more sample size you see, you really appreciate what he can do behind the plate. But I think it came down to the options. I know Garrett Stubbs is a great clubhouse guy. He said he's going to prepare the same way in AAA as he did at the big league level and try and help guys out. But I think it's strictly come down to the lack of depth in the Phillies organization from a catching standpoint. You know, Stubbs, he had an option. Marchand did not. they could not lose Marshawn to another ball club because of that lack of depth.
Who's kind of caught your eye? You know, a couple of guys are having a good spring. Who has really stuck out to you?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious one to go to is Alvarado. This guy is in midseason form. And I mean, you want to talk about no chance up there. These guys got no chance right now. Throwing 100 to 102 with that wipeout slider. He calls it a cutter. I think it's a slider. You got no chance right now against him. He's looked outstanding. And, you know, I think, you know, you're looking at a couple other guys out there. You know, some of the younger guys have, Aiden Miller's really caught my eye. I love what he has been able to do out there. And Max Kepler, I mean, I know it's spring training and you're not facing the normal guys you face, but this approach you're seeing out of Kepler, this is a big dude that can use the whole ballpark. And, you know, if he ends up having half the season that he's having in the spring, I think a $10 million for Kepler is going to be an absolute bargain.
Man, he's got two walks today, two hits. I'm getting a little Kepler up over here, Ben.
I didn't realize this dude was this big. I mean, I like to think of myself as a fairly big guy, but I was hanging on the cage down there next to Charlie. And this dude walked in. I said, damn. I said, Chuck, I didn't know he was that big. He goes, neither did I. And he's a big dude. But if he can get barreled at baseball, look for some good things.
Who's the biggest make or break Philly, in your opinion, for this team to kind of reach their ceiling?
Trey Turner. I think he's poised to have a great year. I've been saying this all offseason. I think he's going to have a big year this year. Very productive. And it's in there. This is a guy you're talking about, a guy with the elite speed. He's not fast. His speed is elite. And, from an offensive standpoint, and I was on the morning show on Wednesday, and I said to John and Joe and Devin and Ray, I said, if I were to tell you that Trey Turner hit .295 last year with 21 homers, would you believe me? And to a person, they said, no, I would not. And I didn't know he hit .295 with 21 homers, being on the shelf for 6+ weeks with his hamstring. Yep. That's something that I wouldn't – I mean – he had an off year and he still hit .295. So that shows you what kind of player he can be and I think will be again.
And lastly, before we let you go here, speaking of the morning show, I mean, what are the early odds on me versus the camera to 11? I mean, what is this nonsense that you and your show is putting out there?
My show?
Yeah, your show.
You know I had you back on Wednesday, right?
Well, of course. Come on.
You know that. No, I don't know. Joe lives in a fantasy world, I think, at times. He said he's a great athlete. I just don't see it. You're younger. You're going to move in better shape. I don't see it really happening for Joe, but you never know. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think you got it. You got this. No brainer, Fritzy.
Right. One thing I said, Ben, all the pressure's on Fritzy.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. I'm not a pressures man. Yeah.
I mean, Joe's got nothing to lose.
I know. I got a lot to lose.
The age advantage, the height advantage,
skill advantage,
better shape. You know. It is what it is.
Yeah. So. Listen, Ben, I did go 2-0 in the high school playoffs. I've risen to the occasion before. It's time to do it again.
Oh, we know it's in there, Jack. We know it's in there.
Yep.
It's a matter of it coming out. You're a peacock. We got to let you fly. You know what I mean?
That's what they say. All right, Ben, appreciate it. Looking forward to all the calls this year.
Guys, before I go, I got it. Mickey wants to say hello to Ike because Ike is his favorite guy on the radio. So, Mick, what do you want to say to Ike?
Hi.
What's going on, man? Hold on, that's what you picked up from school?
Mickey's been in here listening, so but he loves him some Ike Reese, so he just wanted to say hello real quick.
All right, Mickey, hold on, I got something for you. Hook him up here. He must have been drinking that Ike juice.
There you go. Now that's orange juice, Mickey.
I have a glass of that on the way home.
Yeah.
Not like daddy's apple juice. All right, boys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
There he goes. Ben Davis.
I like that. Daddy's apple juice.
That's right. I lobbied Jill for Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, for
oh, is it name?
For
it's good baseball name.
Solid baseball
name.
But then Jill was like, well, what about Moniak? And I was like, that'd be a tough look.
Or if you named him Moniak.
No, Mickey. Like people would think I named him after Mickey Moniak. Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
But I did. Why not Mick? That was a big.
You would not convince people it was Mickey Mantle. Yes, it's Mickey Moniak. Yes.
I know.
Yes.
So she wisely moved us in a different direction.
Yeah. Listen. So that's a good name.
It's starting
to wear on me a little bit.
Because you're starting to think about, you know, when we're watching him play athletics, Sut.
Let's go, Sut.
Yeah, that's all I think about.
Sut.
Walk's turning 2 this weekend.
How about that, big fella?
Yeah.
Turning 2?
Yeah. It's kind of a, listen, It's kind of a bummer, but like, you know, he's another year older. You know,
that's not a bummer.
It's a bummer.
No, it's not.
It's a bummer. He's in such a good stage. I want the stage to last forever.
No,
he's my best friend in the entire world. And he needs to slow down a little bit.
He'll hang around for the next 15 years.
And then after college, he'll come back?
Yeah. Listen, yeah, you're losing for a few years there. Then he'll come back.
Yeah.
He'll come back.
Yeah, so it's going to be a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jill's already giving me all the lists I got to do.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You got a big birthday party planned?
Not really. No, we don't do big extravagant things.
Are you bringing other kids over?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Well, no, we're bringing his cousins. His cousins.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, at least his cousins are coming over. Yes,
it's gonna be a big
Jesus
party.
Jesus Christ, man.
He's only there to hang with us. He's only there to hang with us. Yep. Let's go back to the phones. In or out on the Phils? Tasty Cake, Dom. What's happening, Dom?
Hey, Jack. Hey, Ike. What's up?
What up, Tasty Cake?
Now, Jack, I know you're going to have walk fielding some grounders, but
it's about that time, Dom. Yep.
But I just want to let you know, if he can get a great education in Villanova and shoot some jumpers and make $1.5 million in his portal, you might have him do some layup drills too.
Well, and in Elliott's plan, when he takes over the world, he can stay there until he's 28.
Until he's 30 years old. Yeah.
Man, it's beautiful out. I'm listening outside. You guys have the best show on the radio.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate that.
Ike, I got to ask you a question. If Jack did a top 5 of 5 on the best callers in the afternoon show, how many guys that regularly call in think they're the one seed?
Oh yeah, at least 20 people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they pay me the big bucks though, Dom. Like I have to narrow it down to 5. Ike has a list of 20 top 5 callers.
I had a doctor. I was talking to my Wawa manager, who is a big, who's probably listening right now. He gets done at 3, and he says he listens to you guys. Everybody listens to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's showing the popular show. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's talking about it.
So. And Jack, I already had my on the record with you 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Aaron Nola, 2025 Cy Young Award winner.
I'm in on Knowles. Mm. I'm more in on Sanchi as Cy Young, but I love the bravado. I love the bravado. He's gonna have a good year.
So here's my Sanchez point, as well as Ranger, Jack.
Okay.
When you got two guys on your rotation that you're gonna get 8 to 10 ground balls every outing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you least concerned about Turner and Bohm on that side of the infield?
Sure.
Because they got, you know, they got to be good.
They do. But the thing about Sanchez this year is that he is, I think he's going to be more of a strikeout guy this year.
Man, he is throwing some BBs.
He is. and he's still commanding it at 98 with the changeup off it. With Cole Hamels in camp teaching him even more about the changeup, come on. He's plus 2,500 for Cy Young. I'm just letting everyone know.
Can I ask you a basketball question real quick?
Of course.
Okay. Because I really want your opinion on this.
All right.
So
hey, listen, I respect your basketball.
Yeah, I mean, look.
The only time I could see Gonzaga play is the tournament. Like, so that's well, what I
that
see.
That makes all of
but
us.
But here's what I got to ask you is, right, this guy, they said on Gonzaga looked good yesterday. Like,
mm-hmm.
They said in the last 20 years, this guy's got 39 NCAA tournament wins.
Mark Few?
He never gets mentioned with Izzo or Calipari or Rick Pitino, Coach K.
Yeah.
When do you ever hear about this Gonzaga guy? You never hear about him.
Only during tournament
that's
time.
That's an unbelievable record.
Did they win it yet?
They lost in the championship.
They lost in the finals.
Yeah,
because
that was the Jalen Suggs year, I think, right?
And Baylor ran him out of the gym, Mike.
Okay.
They never really played well in that final game.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, Mark Few has been a good coach for a long time. He obviously took that program. This is what's so impressive about what he's done out there with the Zags is they once were viewed as a Cinderella team.
Oh yeah.
Every year.
Well, yeah. Still. Like, they don't get North Carolina talent. They don't get Duke talent.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. But we no longer view them as a Cinderella team, though.
Right.
So I think it's a credit to him that he's turned that program into somewhat of a, I won't say a powerhouse, but certainly a household name. I think being out in the Northwest has something to do with it, right? You don't get as much media coverage out there. Most of his games during the regular season are probably 10 o'clock at night, right? They probably start on the West Coast at 10 o'clock. So he just doesn't get the national exposure until March Madness.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be my explanation for it, is that that's what I believe it is.
What's bothering you, Dom?
Well, Ike gave me the thing that's bothering me when he was about an hour ago when he was talking about growing up, and he mentioned the great athletes that he witnessed. And Ike, you said Ali and Tyson, right?
Yep.
And what bothers me is how non-existent boxing's become.
Yeah, you are a big, Tasty Cake. I remember you for years. You've always been a big boxing fan. It's not as big as it once was.
I know.
Just isn't. Don't have the American heavyweight that everybody gets behind. Floyd tried to carry boxing for a while.
Yeah, he was not a fun fighter.
Nah.
I wonder if it comes back. I mean, usually things come back.
Well, you know what it is, UFC. You know, you got the MMA fighting. Like, that fighting has sort of wiggled its way into the fight fan.
Yeah.
So those of us that were just... Like, boxing used to be our only real combat, hand-to-hand combat, you could see. But now you got UFC, where they put on all the big matches, all the main guys fight each other. Boxing, you just don't get it as much. It's too much of...
They just need one. If they just get one, maybe it comes back. But like horse racing, you know, horse racing has a moment every once in a while, but usually for us, it's a local guy or a local horse.
Well, horse racing is only important when somebody's going for the Triple Crown.
Well, the Kentucky Derby pops.
No, it's every year, but I mean, other than just betting on it, I mean, are we really looking at horses? Like, who's the horse? The Kentucky Derby's coming up in a couple months. Yeah,
I'll get back to you. We need Jolly.
Jody Mack?
Yeah, Jody Mack.
Which horse are we looking for this year?
I don't know. The way that Rob Cherry and Jolly and Jody Mack talk about horses,
they love it.
It's unbelievable.
I can't get into it.
Well, you gamble on it.
Of course, I gamble on just about anything.
Yeah, dude. 9 a.m., you're betting on overseas basketball?
Yeah, exactly. It's the only way I would actually watch it.
Man, the stuff I used to gamble, like, I used to bet on, I used to do, like, 200 soccer bets a day, you know?
I had a good system. I only bet on soccer during the World Cup.
The World Cup.
I did it during the World Cup.
2026. Coming here.
I'm ready.
I can't wait.
I'm ready.
Hope we're doing we're going to have the PGA Championship that we're going to have to do live shows at, of course.
Got to be there for that.
It's at Aronimink.
Yep.
And then the All-Star Game, the MLB All-Star Game, we'll be doing.
Next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home Run Derby. Bryce probably going to be in it last time.
PGA Championship is next year too?
Yeah. At Aronimink.
Oh, wow.
So with that, we have the Home Run Derby.
2026 is going to be a big year.
And the World Cup, and the Eagles going for a three-peat, and the Phils coming off their title. This is great. This is great. You're Philadelphia.
It's a great time to be in Philadelphia.
Man.
Hold on. We have the, what are we celebrating next year?
Well, it's
250, you know, or 275?
250.
250.
250, what's it called? A bicentennial? Nope, that's not bicentennial. That's 200.
It's something centennial.
It's something centennial.
Yep. Never a doubt. I'm sure everyone's calling in and furious and typing on their phones. Today's show, not this last conversation. It's all brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. The basketball tourney is here. Watch all the action with a special menu at Chickies. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. Get back to your phone calls on the other side on whether you're in or out on the Phillies. Plus, we have to award the belt.
The belt.
The belt. It's moving hands. Hugh was last week's winner of the belt, but it's time to move and find a new owner of it. And also, some awesome Devontae Smith audio about Jalen, and if he's an elite quarterback, his all of Saquon Barkley. And did he agree with A.J. Brown on his feeling after winning the Super Bowl? You hear all of that coming up next on Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack Fritz in for Spike Eskin. I guess I should have not have waited until like 4:30 to say that again. You know, I probably should have done that in and out of each break for anyone confused on this Friday afternoon. I'm not Spike. You know, Spike's enjoying. Do you think he's enjoying? He's probably not enjoying his day off.
There's no way he's enjoying his day off. Are you kidding me?
0%.
First of all, he's trying to get moved in to a new house.
Yep.
He's doing a closing today.
He's closing today, and he's talking to the HVAC company.
Yeah.
He's managing everyone.
So he has
everyone.
All of that going on. Then the fact that he's not here. You know, he can't take not being here.
Yeah, I know. He's too much of a manager.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's a planner, and he thinks the show's falling off the rails.
Yes.
and all that. Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Big games and big events are always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to the belt here in a second, but the Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Still 60-40 on whether or not you're in or out in the Phils this year, but I did want to pass this along, Ike, because I just think it's a funny tweet from Adam Schefter.
What you got?
Aaron Rodgers spent about 6 hours at the Steelers' training facility today meeting with their coaches. It was said to be a positive visit, and the two sides will stay in touch.
I'm sick of Aaron Rodgers.
I think Cam Hayward's sick of Aaron Rodgers,
too. I'm sick of Aaron Rodgers, and he hasn't really even said anything. It's just the fact that he's still out here and won't choose a team.
Well, it's like, you're not prime Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
These teams are, you're lucky to even be out there looking at having a job.
Right now, yeah. That's the spot that he should land. I don't know why he would ever even think about playing for the Giants.
Other than he doesn't have to move?
But I don't understand the purpose of doing that. But Pittsburgh, they just added DK Metcalf.
George Pickens is still
there?
Yeah,
George Pickens there. You got good players on defense. It's a tough division, but hey, it gives you a chance, gives you a shot. At least you got some structure there. And you know what else more importantly, Aaron Rodgers? You need someone to tell you that you're not running the show.
Tomlin will not.
That's been your biggest problem. Yeah. Like, that organization is not going to let you do that there. Right? So, like, and that's what you need. You ruined the last couple years in Green Bay doing things your way. You went to New York. It wasn't your fault you tore your Achilles, so I'm not going to blame you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But New York made a lot of decisions based around what you wanted.
They traded a third-round pick in this year's draft for Davante Adams.
And not to mention the other Green Bay Packers he brought in.
Lazard.
And then Daniel Hackett as a coordinator. like, dude, Enough is enough. Just go be a part of the team.
Yeah, it's a little much. And
just go be a part of the team.
Like the report the other day that he was like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna take my time with my decision." Why? Why? Just go be a Steeler. It's a better chance to win.
You know why he's doing it? So he's not obligated to be anywhere right now.
Doesn't want to get in
like,
there.
I don't get it though. Like, yeah, you just want to stay in your cave or whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, it's almost over with Rodgers. We got like one more year.
Yeah,
but it's. It's definitely tainting his legacy. I mean, because peak Aaron Rodgers was the best.
Yeah, he you know what he's doing? He's doing what Brett Favre did.
It's the exact same thing. What happens with quarterbacks in Green Bay? Why do they turn crazy?
I have no idea. Well, and Brett Favre changed his image of what people viewed him as a quarterback. And I'm not even talking about the stuff off the field. Just the way he played late in his career, minus the 1 year he had in Minnesota, and then he ruined that with the bad throw in the NFC Championship game.
That was his last game, right? Or did he come back
one more year and he looked. Because I remember the image of Brett Favre freezing to death. I don't know if it was in Chicago, it was somewhere that was very cold, and he was just on the sideline. I mean, like with the dried up. Snot coming down and everything, like frozen on his face. I don't know if he had gotten benched or what, but it was just a sad sight of looking at Brett Favre at the end.
And the fact that even Rodgers was like hoping the Vikings. Why are you trying to follow the Favre?
Trying to follow the whole Favre blueprint.
Well, at least he hasn't gotten in a jet yet, or there's not like the jet watch.
Right.
Not the Jets. I'm talking about like the actual plane.
Yes, where Brad Childress was waiting on him to come.
It's disgusting. All right.
Just go to Pittsburgh and be happy.
Yeah.
It's a good team. I mean, it could be a good team with you.
Yeah. Matter Mike's in Sewell. What's happening, Matter Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, listen, Mike, thank you. You just changed my whole thing, the things that I'm getting annoyed at. I wasn't talking about traffic. Now I'm tired of hearing about this knucklehead every single day.
Yeah. He loves it, though. He loves
being. Yeah, he loves it. That's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, he loves being talked about. But like the problem is this. I spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh. There's no caves in Pittsburgh, so there's nowhere for him to hide his face.
Well, isn't there the Grand Canyon of PA? Couldn't he go there?
He could, the Appalachian.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of this.
Yeah, he's annoying.
But anyway, he's annoying. Anyway, I am all in on the Phillies. All in. And if you don't mind me telling, I'm going to tell you my top five reasons why.
I love it. Always in for a top five.
I think the starting rotation is elite. I think Knowles is going to have a great year. I think Sanchez. I'm with you, Jack. I think Sanchez is going to have a Cy Young year. I really like him. I think we got the postseason experience now, and the guys, including Bryce, with that take that you played earlier, they're playing with a chip on their shoulders. Okay, they want this badly. They're playing under the shadow of the Eagles' win.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready. I think the lineup is balanced, you know, with Max in there now. What did he hit? 42 RBIs last year. The guy's a beast. I think if we could get them to stop chasing as much as they did, if Trey has a great year, I think we're looking good. And then my fifth thing is the bullpen.
Yeah.
Jose is looking great in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bullpen is great. I think they're healthy. You know, Bryce is not nursing an injury rehab from last year. So I think they go. And then my predictions are in the NLCS, Phillies in four versus out of seven versus the Braves.
Wow. So the Dodgers don't even make the NLCS?
Dodgers don't make it.
Wow.
The Dodgers do not make it. And I think the. Which I love because I hate the Dodgers. And I think the series, the World Series, is Phillies in six over the Astros.
All right.
That's where I'm going. Ooh, revenge.
That's where I'm going.
I appreciate it.
Ike, listen, buddy. I know what you're doing tonight at 10. You're not watching the game. You're not watching the Spartans. Renee's going to have you washing dishes after that comment earlier today.
Oh, we actually got a dishwasher. That's the real problem.
That's good stuff, man.
That's really why I'm irritated. Like, nobody's actually washing the dishes. All you do is put them in the dishwasher.
Now, do you have drama about how the dishwasher's loaded? Like, do you have the certain...
There's no drama. I don't even complain about it anymore. I just go in and re-rack everything myself.
Just do
me the favor of putting them in there.
Baby steps.
Yes.
But I know that had to be at one point
a pet peeve. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, why can't you load the dishwashers? You got the saucers first. You got the plates next, right? Then you put cups. You put bowls. You, like, yes, there is a order in which they should go in there and fit nicely. But, like I said, I'm not even poking at that.
You just want them
just
in the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hear that.
Yes, just in the dishwasher.
See, this is Jill. You and Jill are kindred spirits on this one. See, I just put it in. Now, relax. I put the dishes in the dishwasher. Now, it worked twice.
Well, we saw.
Yep. But, yes. But, yeah. Yeah. I do the dishes. I do the dishes.
Yeah?
But I don't care how they go in the dishwasher.
Right, you just load it up.
Yeah.
You're like my son when he washes his clothes.
Sure.
There's no separating colors.
No.
There's no rhyme or reason to what you're putting in the actual washer. You just throw everything in the washer, no matter what's in there together, cottons, and it don't matter the material or
anything.
It
doesn't matter.
It does not matter whatsoever.
What really drives Jill crazy is the way I put things back. Like, she has it pretty orderly.
Yeah.
I just throw the pots all. Doesn't,
of course,
doesn't
yes.
matter.
Yeah, I totally
They're
see
all
it.
In there.
Yeah,
you know,
they're in there.
Yeah, what's the difference? When people come over, they're not going in our like drawers to see where things are, you know? So that's what, you know, everyone take a chill pill.
It says a lot. It says a lot, though. I'm a little more buttoned up.
I know.
Than everybody else in the house is, so.
All right, let's, you know. Let's award
yes,
the belt.
The belt.
There could only be one. The boss, the chief, the top of the mountain. The WIP Afternoon Show presents The Belt.
I am a real American.
What a song.
Now,
this is not going to change usually every week. Hugh held the belt last week after challenging Spike, but it seems like those two are on pretty good terms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that they
hashed it out?
Yeah, I think they've hashed it out. They're going to eventually do something with the push-ups, but Hugh only had a one-week run with the belt.
Real quick before we name who the belt, how did they hash it out?
Like, well,
Spike was gung-ho about the push-up thing.
No, I know he was, but it doesn't seem like it's contentious, I guess.
Right.
You know, like, he felt disrespected. I think there's been more respect.
So Hugh back down?
Well, I think he's still going to challenge him.
Okay.
But it feels like it's been a little less, you know, bark this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they do. Because Spike does need to get pushed on this push-up thing. No one believes
Somebody needs to challenge him.
Well, he keeps saying, like, I'll do it. then just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, because we still haven't seen him do it.
And he'll show you he's got a little sheet with all the,
yeah.
tracks his
well, you know what?
Push-ups.
What stops him from doing it here?
I have no idea.
Nothing has stopped him from doing it. If he wanted to do 50 push-ups, 5 sets, he could do it right here. We would see it.
Dude, but it could be in the break content.
Yes.
You know, we're going to do WIP behind the scenes. You know, it could be him doing his little push-ups.
Yeah.
And it would be all on camera. But he keeps ducking it. He keeps ducking it.
He does.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. I think it's because he's down to really 150. And he hasn't gotten his way back up to 250. I think that's my theory.
I thought you meant his weight, 150.
No, he's but below. Wait, I think he is 150.
Yes, that's right.
I think he's 150. Well, this week, and it's not for anything he did on his show, you know, sports take wise, but this week the belt and the guy who owns the belt for the time being is one Jota Kamara after the stunt he pulled earlier this week.
Caller called up about an hour ago. I was like, I met Richie. I met Ike. I met Fritz. How did Fritz's name get in that call? Remember when she called like
college
an hour
athlete.
Ago?
College athlete.
What is that nonsense?
He's a college athlete.
College athlete, my ass. What was he, D6?
You claim athlete status.
Well, I am an athlete. I just chose
and
not to
Fritz
play at a
can't.
Certain point. He can claim it.
Are you a better athlete than Jack Fritz?
Probably. I'd have to see him play
buddy.
More.
Here we go.
James,
when
you think?
No, I don't think.
Wait, you don't think I'm a better
athlete
than Fritz?
I'm not.
Wouldn't
what Richie is saying
think?
Jack is some amazing
think,
athlete, but I think he's absolutely a better athlete
what's
than you.
What's he better at than me?
Do you think anyone
he
thinks?
Pitched in college.
Okay,
are you kidding?
Let's just say he may be a better baseball player. And I'm going to say
maybe. Are
you kidding me? Definitely a better baseball player.
What else is he better? He can't beat me in basketball.
I'm sure
he can beat me in tennis.
I'll bet everything I have that he beats you in basketball.
He can beat you in everything.
He's like a 6 handicap or an 8 handicap as a golfer.
Wait, when you look at his body, does that look like athlete body?
Wow, look at you. Who's talking right now?
Yeah, but look at that guy.
Well, that's why I had to post the photo.
Wow, that was the shot right side. There.
Because look at him.
Right.
He's skinny fat, you know? He's not exactly, you know, sculpted.
Right, he rolled that out like he was Adonis or something.
Yeah, I know. Listen, it's a good bit. It dominated conversation on the show this week. It reached all three shows. So congratulations, show to camera. For the time being, you have the belt.
My favorite part in all of that is hearing Richie. And how egregious he felt that Joe really thought that, or really feels that he's a better athlete than you are.
Yeah. Again, 7.5. That's the line of the of a game to 11. And it won't take that long. Spike acts like it's going to take 4 hours. It's going to take about 15 minutes, if I had to guess.
Well, Spike doesn't respect your basketball.
He really doesn't.
He does not respect your basketball.
Again,
ability.
He looks like he can't dribble a basketball. And it's no wonder him and Maury are aligned with loser basketball players because they have no eye. They got no eye for basketball talent. And I might say,
I will agree with you on the eye part. His eye is questionable when it comes to talent.
Like, I think basketball is the easiest to scout.
Right.
It's not that hard.
To be able to tell whether or not somebody can play.
Yeah. But him and Maury, kindred spirits. Absolute lack of eye.
Hey, John. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
We'll go back to the phones in 1 second. But Devontae Smith, I love Devontae. I think Saquon's everyone's like favorite Eagle currently. You know,
yeah.
Jalen, obviously. But
yeah.
But Devontae has always been, you know, my guy. Love Devontae Smith. And he was on with Carmelo's podcast. Everyone's got a podcast.
Oh, man. Boy, are we making the rounds.
Yeah. not many podcasts they've turned down. They are making the podcast circuit.
Yes.
But Devontae, now this is a PSA to Darius Slay. This is how you answer the question about whether or not Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback. Here is Devontae Smith on Melo's podcast.
Jalen Hurts talk, especially knowing him as long as you've had, about him being a quote-unquote elite quarterback.
I mean, Slay said, you know, the big four. For me, it's the big five.
Mm.
And, you know, Jalen is in that five. The four that he named, and then I'm putting Jalen in there. You know, that to me, that's the big five. I don't think it's a big four. I think it's a big five, honestly.
Easy.
I mean.
Now, they agree he's fifth.
But we all agree that there's five. That's all I've been saying. Listen, immediately after the Super Bowl, I went Jalen number two.
Yeah,
I'm not going to act like I didn't say that.
You did.
That's what I felt.
Yep, I'm sure you did.
That's what I felt.
It's fine.
Jalen number two, Super Bowl MVP. That's what I felt.
Uh-huh.
He earned that. But now that the emotion has died down some and we can take a step back and look.
You've come to your senses.
Well, here's the thing. He's no worse than five.
Sure.
He's no worse than five. And I want to have this argument because, quite frankly, it's hard to you guys who have your heels dug in on him not being an elite quarterback will never give in. And I've come to understand that. You know, after me and Spike almost choked each other the day after the Super Bowl.
Sure.
It really was just it would have been a one-way choking.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, but even after that happened, I had to realize then that there's nothing I can say, there's nothing more Jalen can do to convince these guys that he is an elite quarterback. I don't care what you say, Fritz.
I know.
I don't care what you say. And yes, my eye test tells me that Burrow and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
And Lamar.
And Lamar. I'll even throw Lamar in there because Lamar has convinced me. He's changed my mind as a passer. He's gotten much better as a passer. They all have maybe better physical attributes than Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger arm, faster, some more athletic than the other.
But do they have it between the ears?
No. Not only that, do you have the things that really matter, which are the winning, the results? Like, that has to matter more than all the other stuff. It just does. I know that Dan Marino is arguably the greatest quarterback to ever throw a football. How can I argue that he's greater than Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
When I know my eyes tell me he's better than Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning went to four Super Bowls and won two and won four MVPs.
He went to four? I thought they didn't go to three.
No, he went to four.
Really?
Because he lost two. He lost one to the Saints and he lost to the
Seahawks.
So,
resume? Yeah,
and I just use Peyton as an example.
Sure.
It's the resume has to matter.
Listen,
it has to matter.
And like I said, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I'm open to calling him an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
We'll see. If the resume's the resume, I can't argue the resume.
He's an elite quarterback.
Elite
He's
winner.
Been to two Super Bowls.
I know.
He's been all pro.
I know the resume.
Multiple pro bowls. Like, what is it that isn't? Like, that's the thing that what is it that wouldn't make him an elite quarterback? That's what I would have to ask.
Again,
what is it that doesn't make him an elite quarterback?
He does not need for me to win another Super Bowl.
Right. That, thank God.
Just want to put that out there.
Considering the other guys haven't won one of them, most of them haven't even been to one.
Hit the breaking news sounder. He does not have to win another Super Bowl.
Thank you. Okay.
But I would like to see a little bit of what it would look like if he does not have a loaded roster. For me, it does matter to me. He had the best defensive football, the best offensive line football, best receivers, best running back. Like, again, he was fine, but like, had God forbid Matthew Stafford gotten that pass off, no one's having any conversations about Jalen being a lead quarterback.
You know what though? This, and I love that you said that because I've been meaning to. That's a little overstated. We dominated that Rams game.
I know, but they still would have lost, and no one would have cared.
I understand that, but when we say we're fortunate that Jalen Carter did that, we almost say it as if the Eagles shouldn't have won the game.
I agree.
Yeah,
that game should not have been close.
Yes, it shouldn't have been a close game.
It would have been an all-time collapse.
Yes,
like an all-time collapse.
Yes, yes. So I'm with you there. I'm with you there. What was I going to say? I was going to add something in there with Jalen. It'll come to me. It'll come back to me.
All right. Well, the other cut I want to put.
That was a great cut by Smitty. I agree with him.
Okay. Well, the other cut I think is really interesting. Because it's been so fascinating listening to Mailata, listening to A.J. Brown, listening to – I think Jalen appreciates Super Bowl now, but I think
Saquon said it at his – when he talked after he got his new contract, to the point you're about to make.
About how it's like – it was kind of weird winning the Super Bowl. It's kind of like, eh. And Devontae, he added to that. Here's Devontae Smith talking about what it was like winning the Super Bowl.
I'm gonna be real with you. I kind of agree with him.
Okay.
Because, like, for me, I done played at the biggest game on every stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, the Super Bowl, it felt like that just because I was at home.
Mm.
And like, it was just the emotion of me being home. But like, once we won, it was just kind of like, eh.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
let's get back to it.
Yeah, let's get back to it. Like, I think if the Super Bowl was anywhere else, I wouldn't have like been emotional and it wouldn't have seemed like it was so much for me. When he was saying about, you know, the DB putting his head down and stuff like that, you get a rush from something like that.
Yeah.
Like when you out there just cooking a dude and like you can tell when he defeated and he just don't want no more. Like you get a rush from something like that. And it's just like there is no feeling better than that in the game of football. Than when you know you're dominating the person.
So are the Eagles psychopaths or was it because the game wasn't that close in the end? That's what I can't figure out.
I think that had something to do with it. I do. I think that had something to do with it, that it was sort of anticlimactic for them. Although they went out there and they expected to dominate, or they weren't surprised that they dominated, I think the actual reality of them dominating and how the game unfolded may have taken away some of the excitement and the exhausting feeling you have, I would imagine, after winning that championship. And it was the first Super Bowl for a lot of those guys, right?
Sure.
I mean, I understand Brandon and Jake, it was their second one, but it was the first championship for a lot of those guys. We didn't hear a lot of that after the 2017 team won it.
No.
We didn't hear that from because the game was, it had you on the edge of your seat.
Yes, and they could explode when they actually won it. The Eagles had, they knew they were going to win the Super Bowl heading into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I don't believe it's the whole, it's the second time we won it. That would be more of a fan thing.
Well, it was only BG, Fletch, or not BG, Lane, Rick and Lovato, Jake. And Jake. Everyone else.
Everybody else hadn't won a Super Bowl yet.
Does Smitty and the Georgia guys winning a national championship?
Now, those guys, you're right. And like Smitty said, he's played in big games. He's right. He's played in a national championship game. So maybe for those guys, but AJ didn't play in a national championship game.
No. Coop, no.
Yeah.
Quinion, no.
And I'll say this before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a guy that played in a league, let alone lost the damn Super Bowl, I don't really want to hear that winning the Super Bowl don't really feel like anything.
Yeah, it's got to hit you differently.
Like everybody, yeah, for all of us, yeah, that's kind of offensive, quite frankly. Like,
yeah, we're going to need to address this next year.
What are you talking about? Yeah, you guys win the Super Bowl, and you're like, oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, whatever. It's another day.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I've been... For 20 years, I've been like, damn it, man.
I know. You guys are talking that way at the parade.
Yeah, exactly.
You and you.
I want to know what that feeling is like to whether or not I would have been excited.
Yeah, you want to be like, you want to have the feeling of, this is not great.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know what that feels like. Yeah.
They might just be psychopaths. And listen, if that's how they feel, maybe they're going to lead to a bunch of Super Bowls.
As long as Nick doesn't say that.
Yeah, and he can't. You can't go D3 and getting fired and coaching in the PSAC and his rise.
I'm just saying winning the Super Bowl didn't really feel like anything. It just felt like a regular game.
Whoa, on to the next one? There is no next week, Nick. All right. Man, yeah. The Eagles are crazy. The Eagles are psychopaths. All right, on the other side, top 5 at 5 with Justin Morgenstein. What do you got for us? What do you got cooked up back there?
Yeah, so I got a little top 5 things you guys like the least about fill-in producers producing the afternoon show.
All right.
You got a good one in store.
That's interesting.
You've been teasing this one to me personally since Monday.
He's been ready.
I was in bed Sunday night thinking about it, and I'm like, I got it.
All right, well, you better deliver. All right, that's coming up next along with your phone calls.
He was in bed Sunday night thinking about it. I didn't know he was alone in bed Sunday night.
Maybe it was late. I don't think it was. It's probably 9. Yeah,
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.